Thank you very much, Mr. Vice Chair. Like the Swiss delegation, I'm going to also talk about consultations and CBMs, but just to keep things interesting, I will do them in the reverse order. So I'll talk about consultation first. The first thing to say on this, Mr. Vice Chair, is that once again we have heard the Russian delegation tossing out lies on what's been going on in Ukraine. This forum is not the place to make these sort of slanders, and many of us expressed our opinions on these the other day. But I would just say, you know, we're talking about Article 5 here, which is about consultations. I'm not clear whether the Russian delegation is actually proposing to use Article 5. It says it doesn't exclude it, which is all very well. But the Russian delegate asked us earlier to take the allegations seriously. It's difficult to do that if the Russian delegation themselves are not taking them seriously by using the mechanisms provided for in our convention for precisely this purpose. We recall that previous review conferences have taken decisions about implementing this this mechanism. This includes the understanding expressed at the review conferences, the 4th, 6th, 7th and 8th review conferences, that, I quote, "This article provides an appropriate framework for states parties to consult and cooperate with one another to resolve any problem and to make any request for clarification which may have arisen in relation to the objective or in the application of the provisions of the convention," end quote. It also, the same review conferences also included the understanding that, quote, "any state party which identifies such a problem should, as a rule, use these procedures to address and resolve it," end quote. So it's clear, Mr. Vice Chair, that given the situation we are in at the moment with these allegations being bandied around, that a review of Article 5 at our review conference later this year is going to be a very important discussion. In that light, I would recall, I believe the US delegation submitted a working paper in 2019 at MX5 on using the convention's tools to strengthen institutional functions, and they referred to various papers that have been submitted on this question. And I think certainly for my delegation, we would value a more in-depth discussion on some of those ideas at the review conference on how to strengthen the operation of Article 5. Turning to confidence-building measures now, Mr. Vice-Chair, we certainly believe that these are a important component obligations of our convention. The benefits of information sharing and collaboration have been demonstrated many times over the years. I recall, for example, the declaration of vaccine production facilities in overseas territories where manufacturing and marketing authorizations were provided by different countries. To pick up a theme that others have mentioned, I would just like to emphasize our understanding that CBMs are not voluntary. The second review conference resulted in a consensus decision that states parties were to implement the CBMs on the basis of mutual cooperation. So it's they are, albeit not a legally binding, but certainly a politically binding requirement for all BWC states parties, and as the US and Swiss delegations have reminded us, they are not voluntary. I would also like to call on states parties to consider making their CBMs publicly available. This is an important aspect of the CBM mechanism. It's now very easy to do, thanks to the eCBM portal, as we've heard. In 2021, approximately one-third of those submitting CBMs chose to make them public, as did the United Kingdom. And so we certainly hope that number will increase, because it is a very important confidence-building and transparency measure. Finally, Mr. Vice-Chair, I'd just like to take this opportunity to remind colleagues that the UK has made an offer to assist any states parties requiring support with their CBM returns. So I just want to reiterate that offer and encourage states parties to take us up on it. Thank you.